Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight-up, actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to episode number 60 of Global from Asia podcast. I'm here without a passport right now. I had to turn it in, and it always makes me nervous as I'm renewing my Chinese visa. They hold it for a couple of weeks while they, I don't know, do background checks or whatever they need to do, and I can't travel or even go to Hong Kong, so I'm stuck in mainland China for a couple weeks at least. And happy to announce we got another 5-star review on iTunes today. This one's from BillGates009 in the UK. Pretty cool username there, so let me read it off for everybody. It's titled Great Actionable Advice. And he says, I've been listening to Michael's podcast for a while now, and I've always found it very useful, actionable tips that I can use in my business. As someone who's been in China for 5 years and dealing with Chinese factories every day, I am able to take a lot of the ideas and plug them into my business right away. I've also found to be a great resource for new information in our industry and knowing the various complementary businesses within the international trade space. Thank you so much for that, Bill Gates. And so now on to this week's show. It's a part one of a two-part series. As I mentioned earlier in other shows, we had the Start Me Up Venture Forum and get to, you know, Global from Asia here. We get some behind-the-scenes interviews with some of the speakers. We have Phil Wickham, President and CEO of the Kauffman Fellows, and he's going to discuss some of his insights doing business in Asia and whether business people should consider setting up shop in Silicon Valley versus Asia. So it's a pretty interesting interview, and we are going to get into things. Also, after the interview, I'm going to talk about a few points that I learned on a panel series as a couple of local Hong Kong entrepreneurs were sharing their insights of how they made their businesses successful. So stay tuned after the interview. Thanks, everybody. Okay, thank you everyone for tuning in to another Global from Asia podcast. And we are in the first part of a series of the Start Me Up Venture Forum. And it's the second year I've been here, and I'm always happy to be able to meet the speakers and get some one-on-one time with them. So we have Phil Wickham from the Kauffman Fellows, and he's our keynote speaker at this series. And it's really a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks for being here, Phil.
Oh, thank you, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Maybe you could give a quick introduction of yourself and your business you're doing.
Sure. Just quickly on myself, I'm a 20-year veteran of the venture industry. Been doing mostly cross-border investments. I was launched into the career in the first class of the Kauffman Fellows program back in 1995. So I have a long history with the program. I'm an engineer by training, and I also have been running the program for the last 6 years.
That's really great. I saw you went MBA from Rensselaer, RPI. I went to Stevens Tech for undergrad, so that's pretty cool. So maybe you can give us some background of the Kauffman Fellows.
Sure. Yeah, I would say the origins or the mission of the program is very straightforward. We come out of a foundation that was created by one of the world's most successful entrepreneurs. So Ewing Kauffman, when he sold Marion Labs, a company he built in the early 80s, he was for about $6.5 billion. He's one of the wealthiest people on earth. He would be arithmetically on par with a Jack Ma today, you know, or a Mark Zuckerberg, somebody of that level of wealth, top five wealth in the world. And he took a large portion of his wealth and dedicated it to a foundation to essentially preserve the opportunity for people coming after him to have the same sort of wealth creation through entrepreneurship. So the foundation has historically studied, celebrated, promoted entrepreneurship in all its forms in the United States. We were a project started under the belief that without a professional, entrepreneur-centric capital food chain to invest in and serve entrepreneurs through all of their stages of growth, that entrepreneurial success rates would be radically suboptimized. So that was the mission of the Kauffman Fellows Program over 20 years ago when it was conceived. And so we have today grown in that 20 years to having 400 fellows participate in the program across now 53 countries. The funds that our fellows are partners in manage an aggregate of about $250 billion, U.S. dollars, of innovation capital, which makes it a major player in the world.
Okay. Yeah, sounds really great. It's amazing. And I just want to clarify, we talked about before the interview, but I help organize a startup weekend here in Hong Kong and China, and I'm also curious, I'm sure maybe listeners are here at Kauffman and think of maybe that relationship with Startup Weekend. Maybe help make that connection for us?
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, the connection with Startup Weekend is the Kauffman Foundation is a multi-billion-dollar entity based out of Kansas City, which in its history of about 25 years has launched hundreds of effective programs. Startup Weekend is one of them. We happen to be the largest in their history that they've ever done. And then we spun out about 12 years ago in sort of 2001, 2002 timeframe with a grant from the foundation and a perpetual license for brand and content. So we operate independently from a financial and strategy standpoint, but we maintain a strong tie to the Kauffman Foundation.
That's great. And so part of your keynote, I think, is talking about the future of venture capital. Mm-hmm. And I know it's a big topic and we have a limited amount of time for this interview, but can you give us some maybe bullet points or some ideas or what you suggest? Like, our listeners are normally like Westerners, English speaking people in their 20s, 30s, either doing business in Hong Kong or Asia or wanting to. So maybe with those people in mind.
Sure. I mean, I would say that in my 20 years of experience in venture and venture capital as an industry, I think the most obvious change has been back in the day. Venture was very small. It was very limited in its variety. And so the entrepreneurs that it served tended to be a very narrow portion of the population. And there weren't that many entrepreneurs to begin with even 20 years ago. And so to acquire venture capital, you had to be a certain kind of industry at a certain stage of growth, a certain stage of traction. And if you didn't, you basically, there's very little hope of capturing that. I think as the importance of innovation has risen significantly, as governments and universities and corporations, everyone recognizes the growth engine that innovation is, and entrepreneurial sophistication has risen, you're seeing, I think, a very healthy trend in venture and investment in general, which is there are entrepreneurs now on the investment side saying there's a different way to do this. I can come in with a smaller fund. I can create a micro VC fund. I can create an accelerator with a fund attached to it. You're seeing family offices jump directly into investing, seeing corporations. We track about 1,300 corporations now that participate in venture capital. So it's become this, in a sense, this very wide array, this wide menu of different types and sizes and sources of capital that entrepreneurs, if they do their homework, can probably do a really good job of matching the kind of capital to the needs of their company at that particular stage.
And I'm always thinking as a listener, so I'm thinking, like, does location still matter as far as their presence, like in Asia or US, Europe? I mean, is location, I guess it depends on the firm or the situation, but maybe.
Sure. No, it's a good question. I think the location is incredibly important, and I think there's a real sort of conflict in what's happening now. And so what I mean by that is that venture is especially at the earlier stages is always a local business. If you're doing your job well, you're not just writing a check. You're coaching entrepreneurs. You're bringing to them the other forms of capital. So we often think of the capital formation process as writing a check and the exchange of financial capital, and that's fundamental, but it's pretty commoditized. Really good investors will mobilize other types of capital to help nourish a company. So human capital, intellectual capital, process capital, network capital, social capital, there's all sorts of things. This is really where the expertise of investors should lie. So locality and the ability to jump in a car or a subway train and have coffee with an entrepreneur in crisis is still incredibly important. What's interesting about that, though, is the geographic indifference of entrepreneurs has become so high now. It's sort of refrained from phrases like international or global because entrepreneurs don't think that way. They don't care about where they go. And so what you find is the supply chain for a startup has become much more sort of broadly spread out. They can go to a lot of different parts of the world to get what they need to build a company. And in concert with that, from their demand chain, they can go to a lot of places to distribute and sell their companies. So these companies become global very quickly, but yet there really isn't a global solution for how you build syndicates that will help you in those different parts of the world.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like a lot of people listening are in that like location independent. There's like this group of people that work out of Starbucks anywhere in the world, and they're sometimes they're lifestyle entrepreneur is more like I think they're almost different than like a scalable venture-backed startup. So they're two different kinds of groups, right? Is there location independent venture backed? Is that it's kind of a strange one, but
I don't think so. I mean, there are a rare few venture capitalists who will do things all over the world, but you could probably count them on one hand. For the most part, one of the things that entrepreneurs need to remember, and this is often overlooked, is that your investor, your venture capitalist, is a business just like you. And so while it feels like you're getting funding from the heavens, actually you're just structuring a business partnership. And that venture capitalist needs to be successful in their business model. Their business model requires as many of their companies being financially successful mm-hmm. as possible. And so if they have a choice between an intriguing company that is around the corner from them and a similarly intriguing company that's a 5,000-mile flight, they're almost never going to choose the one that's so far away because it just increases the risk of that company failing. And that's just a reality of the marketplace.
Got it. Interesting. I've read your bio, so you spent time in Japan and Korea. How about Hong Kong? And maybe I'm going to kind of dig into this a little bit, but I'm sure you've been to Hong Kong before and maybe some of your background in Asia?
Sure. So yes, I ended up living in Japan. I spent a little bit of time in Korea professionally, but I ended up living in Japan for about 3 years after college. And like a lot of people, grew up with a particular interest in a place. My interest was in Japan, and I've maintained a very close relationship there. I have an office in Japan. I've probably been to Asia 100 times. Several of those occasions, I'll come through Hong Kong because I have contacts and friends here. And I think what's really interesting for me, because in my role as CEO of the Kauffman Fellows Program, we work in about 75 city cells ecosystems across these 53 countries. Hong Kong wasn't really on the radar screen for many, many years. You think of Hong Kong as a very sophisticated city from a cultural standpoint, a financial services standpoint, a global trade standpoint, but it was never really seen as a hub of innovation. But it's coming along very quickly, and it has a tremendous number of natural competitive advantages that could allow the city to further accelerate its sophistication, its role in innovation.
Sure. So I'm thinking like when you were first in Tokyo or Japan, and I feel like I've never been to Japan. Mm-hmm. Well, I've actually been to Okinawa, which I don't know if I count as Japan, but is like Hong Kong kind of like coming up, like maybe other more, I feel like Korea and Japan are more, I want to say more advanced, but more progressed in like innovation. Is maybe Hong Kong in line behind that, or am I?
No, it's a good question. The way that I would think about Hong Kong vis-a-vis not just other Asian cities, but cities in general, is it's hard to compare because Japan has a wonderful history post-World War II of innovation that was snuffed out by the security of big companies. And it's also been impeded by some challenging policy issues, tax issues, bankruptcy issues that don't really encourage young companies to grow and innovate, and for a whole bunch of reasons. I think that Hong Kong is a better comparison to New York, right? Where New York was a sophisticated urban center with a great deal of global trade, media, financial services, advertising, and these are the industries that are being disrupted right now by innovation. So essentially, I think Hong Kong has one of the great natural advantages. It's one of the most compelling cities to live in. And this wave is being driven by, at one level, young people coming out of college in their 20s and also a certain percentage of people in their 30s and 40s who are willing to jump from safe industries and do startups. New York has proven they can do that to a certain level now. They're about 10 to 12 years ahead of Hong Kong. And the challenge for Hong Kong will be, can they keep the great people that they have on the innovation side, and can they attract others from different parts of the world the way New York has? They should be able to, because again, it's such a compelling place to live.
Yeah, Hong Kong is amazing. Like, it's so much different culture and it's like a melting pot, like maybe like New York too. So, you know, I also in your bio, see you're in the Silicon Valley Startup Entrepreneurs mm-hmm. group mm-hmm. or association. And, you know, actually, I see some on my Facebook feed, you know, a lot of Hong Kong startups like posting their like progress. So they're just a lot are still trying to go to like the Valley. I think everybody in the world is still trying to go to the Valley, and I'm just kind of curious, maybe it can be like a closing point. Maybe I kind of choose Asia over the Valley for myself. And I don't know if I, you know, I'll never know, be able to compare my life to the others, sure. But maybe some people in there sitting there listening, like, should I go to Asia and do my business? And, or should I maybe try to go to the Valley and make it, I mean, I don't know, what would you consider?
Well, I think there's a couple ways to answer the question of whether you should be in Silicon Valley or Asia or Latin America is very compelling place these days. Eastern Europe, there's, you know, there's so many cool places in the world to go to. I think if you're going to make a decision based on a startup, recognize that the startup you're going to launch, if it's successful, is probably a 10-year journey. And you're probably going to work harder than you've ever worked in your life. You're going to have a ton of stress and uncertainty. You're going to have outsized rewards and a sense of accomplishment, all of these sorts of things. You probably need to be in the place that personally makes you happy. That's a good place to start. If you'd rather, if you're more excited about Hong Kong than Santa Clara, be in Hong Kong. And I think the second set of issues you have to consider is what is in the best interest of my company? And again, it comes back to demand and supply, right? Is what resources do I need to build my company? And then where am I best positioned to sell my product? Mm-hmm. The nice thing is a lot of the stuff that people are doing these days in the way of products are very sort of decoupled from where you are geographically, because you can use the internet to distribute and sell. So that's the way I would answer that question. I'm inherently allergic to people just falling in love with the Mecca of Silicon mm-hmm. Valley. It is a remarkable place. It's not smarter than any other place. It's just a lot more wise. It's just been through a lot more. And so it's easier to find somebody who's been doing it for 30, 40, 50 years, who's seen six or seven up and down cycles, you know, who's looked at hundreds and hundreds of companies. Those are all tremendous resources. But as a young person starting a company, you're not really constrained by being, you know, in Bulgaria or Hong Kong or Brazil. If you can make it work no matter where you are.
Okay. Thanks so much for sharing. And okay. I wish we had more time, but I think that was really great. We did the best. And how can people reach out to either you or your business if they are inspired?
So from the Kaufman Fellows program, our website is pretty comprehensive. It's kfp.org, kaufmanfellowsprogram.org, but it's kfp.org. Questions there, if they have questions, they can just submit it to info@kfp.org. We check it three or four times a day. We're very responsive on that front. Okay. And there's probably Kaufman Fellows in their neighborhood.
Sure,
they might
sure.
be able to scare them up and buy them a cup of coffee if they're savvy enough to get their attention.
Awesome. Great. Okay. Thank you so much. And welcome to Hong Kong. Thank you, Phil, for coming on and sharing. Really appreciate it. And it's always great to have these amazing people on the show and coming into Hong Kong for the Start Me Up Venture Forum. I'm really appreciative of this opportunity to get to interview some of the speakers. While I didn't get to interview everybody, there were some pretty amazing guests, and I took notes at the various sessions in the Start Me Up Forum. And the one below I'm going to share is pretty insightful. It's a panel of successful Hong Kong entrepreneurs, and I want to just share some of the quick bullet point notes that I took down and when they were sharing what they needed to do to succeed and some of the things that they wanted to share with other entrepreneurs. So here we go. Number one, validate first. You need to make sure that your market and product fit is there and the market is ready before you invest heavily into your business. Number two, be honest with yourself on your strengths. While entrepreneurs have to do everything at the beginning and make everything work, you know, as your business grows, you have to realize what you're not good at and what you don't like to do. And you need to find people to replace you for those as soon as possible. Number three, recruit a team that is better than you. You know, surrounding yourself with people that are better than you is always a recipe for success, a lot of people say. Number four, remember that the advice you receive is someone else's specific personal experience exaggerated. So I like that one. It was... you need to really be careful on the advice you receive. You need to think about that person who, that is giving it to you, their own specific situation that they were going through, the time that they went through, and then is that applicable to you, your business, and the current state of the world, the economy, and the business environment. So that's all I have this week. Next week, we're going to have Richard Robinson on the show. He's a Beijing startup veteran, and he's going to give some insights on how it is to run a tech startup inside mainland China. So don't miss that one. It's a lot of fun. All right, guys. Cheers.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.